Persons listening to this show should experience varying degrees of euphoria and might radiate a warm glow of truth from their entire being. This phenomenon sometimes lasts hours after a typical brain massage. If you are listening with another Lights On listener and they begin to glow, don't be concerned. This is a phenomenon normally associated with Pastor Scheidbach's patented brain massage technique and merely means the truth has set them free. Warning. Pastor Scheidbach is not politically correct, and even more shocking, he is a Christian who uses the word God and prays in Jesus' name in public.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheidbach, Wayne Masseur. Are you ready for your Gray Matter massage?
Truth, served here, flavored by delectable wit, delicious sarcasm, succulent sagacity, a gourmet meal for the mind.
Paul Revere's lantern lighter here, lighting the lamps of the church belfry arch, signaling the enemy is still on the march. An enemy that would steal from us our liberties. In what way is the effort on the part of the imam in New York to build a mosque on Ground Zero similar to the homosexuals' demand that we give them marriage? God deliver us from unreasonable and wicked men. I will continue my commentary on Californicating Judge Walker's specious arguments supporting his decision to overturn Proposition 8 in the next segment, but first, I keep getting these emails inviting me to join the Republican resurgence. I'm a Christian conservative with my heart steady at my right hand. Bible thump alert! Bible thump alert! Quote, a wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. End quote. A friend recently quipped, this explains why conservatives are called right and liberals are called the left. Har har, all right. I'm concerned about the grand old party of Lincoln and Reagan, and yes, I would say these are names that can be mentioned together. I am concerned for the GOP, and let me tell you why. For a while now, the GOP has been slowly distancing itself from the Christian right, partly, no doubt, in response to the left-hearted MSM's constant attack against us, caricaturing us as extreme and so on. You know, today, you see, it is an extreme position to oppose sodomy and to object to murdering babies in the womb. Isn't that interesting? We are not quite so far from the days when advocating abortion and sodomy in our culture would have been considered the bizarre, extreme positions of an antisocial radical. Indeed, we are near enough to the days of sanity in these matters that probably most of you, even over the age of 30 years, will admit that the left has been overtaken by an ideology of those who were once considered to be the extreme radicals of yesteryear. So I repeat as my first point that advocating abortion and sodomy in our society was considered something promoted only by a bizarre minority of French radical anti-social, anti-establishment weirdos. The group Savage calls the red diaper doper babies. Yet most in that group 50 years ago would not advocate for the promotion of sodomy in our culture. So the DNC was the first to cave into this fringe extreme ideology, but the GOP is following the same path, although more slowly. Lately, however, it has picked up its pace, and even people like Sarah Palin are pushing the cart down the slippery slope towards Sodom. Recently, we discovered that the previous GOP chairman was a closeted homosexual who now wants to come out. Schwarzenegger has come out clearly in favor of homosexual marriages in direct opposition to the wishes of most Californians. Many in the upper levels of the GOP have secretly extended a gay agenda-friendly message to that community right along. And more recently, they have begun to speak more openly about distancing themselves from these hot-button cultural issues such as abortion and the homosexual agenda. However, by distancing themselves from these issues, what is meant is moving away from pro-life toward pro-choice, away from the sanctity of marriage toward the sodomizing of our culture. I said that even straight-talking Palin has begun to cave in on these points. She has endorsed Meg Whitman, who is weak in her support of Proposition 8 here in California, and openly, adamantly committed to the ideology of pro-choice. She is GOP, though, and the kingmaker thinks she's a winner, so I guess that's what really matters. They've drank the Kool-Aid. They've sipped the whore's wine. A biblical allusion I don't care to take time to explain here. The GOP is in cardiac arrest, and this is happening at the worst possible time. We need a conservative resurgence in the Republican Party, not a resurgence of the party. A resurgence of good old-fashioned Christian conservatism. If Meg Whitman wins in California, the unborn babies lose. It will be clear to all voters in this state that the GOP can turn its back on the babies without paying a political price. The devil does not care about party affiliation. He cares about what principles will guide the development of government policy. He wants corrupt politicians because corrupt politicians are guided by corrupt principles. He wants policies that are developed from corrupt principles because he wants corrupt policies. He wants corrupt government policies because by that means he can permeate the entire culture with his corruptions more efficiently. He wants to corrupt the culture because by that means a people forget God and God then turns that people into hell right into his grasp. Bible Thump Alert, Bible Thump Alert, grab your hyperventilation bags. I warned you, quote, the wicked shall be turned into hell and all the nations that forget God, end quote. One of his chief tools is love of money. That little demigod under his control named Mammon is usually associated with money itself, but actually it refers to the worship of money, not money itself, you understand, but the love of money is the root of all evil. The GOP is focused on the economy of money. In service to this god, they are leaving the God of heaven. They are pursuing Mammon and think that good policies governing Mammon is all that really matters to fix what's wrong in this country, and you are so wrong. You've been deceived. If you think good government of money matters is all that is needed to straighten out this economy, you're going to find yourself in deeper trouble. Much of our economic woes is directly related to the fact that we have forsaken God. Bible Thump Alert, I'll get over it. I'm quoting from the book our fathers, our founding fathers, refer to more than any other single book with the regard and deference and respect that most of you liberals now reserve only for the Quran and Allah. Anyway, Haggai 1, 6, and 7. Ye have sown much and bring in little, and he that earneth wages to put it into a bag with holes. Thus saith the Lord of hosts, consider your ways, end quote. You see, you can have all the material prosperity imaginable, and yet without God, it will mean nothing. You will earn your wages to put it into a bag with holes. Folks, the devil's focus is not the economy of money, but the economy of morals. That's how he destroys a nation. He uses money to corrupt morals in order to bring a people under the condemnation of God. The GOP thinks if only they can shake off these moralists, if only they could get away from their entanglement with the abortion and sodomy issues and stay focused only on the fiscal issues, then they could develop a more broad base of support for their candidates and lead this country out of its financial mess. Now, I get it. I understand what you're doing. But I declare unto you, GOP leaders, you cannot forsake the Lord God without facing the judgment of God, the judgment that God reserves for nations that forget him. He has long endured the mockery of world leaders, as Psalm 2 prophesied, railing against him, saying, let us break their bands asunder and cast away their cords from us. And there has been no open display of his glory among the nations for a long while now. But I promise you, this will not continue. The GOP has been, until recently, the last line of defense against the metastasizing of these nation-destroying cancers, abortion and sodomy. But they are retreating. They are removing their defenses against these evils, surrendering in hopes they can trade away these moral issues to win the day for their fiscal ones. And I'm declaring to you right now, this is not going to work. God will arise when we have finally finished this work of making void his laws. God will arise and shake the earth. Oh, yeah. It is time for thee, O Lord, to work, for they have made void thy laws. The GOP is already so weak and pathetic. As soon as we send a conservative to Washington from the GOP, most of them are corrupted in a very short time. Well, the Bible talks about that. The righteous is more excellent than his neighbor, but the way of the wicked seduceth them. Oh, I know, I forgot to warn you. Well, I checked into it, and so far a preacher can't be held accountable for heart failure triggered by speaking God's word in public. Although if you're in Canada, you'd better not get sick and get a heart attack. A preacher had a heart failure, which caused some brain damage. He received surgery and is recovering in the state-controlled hospital of Canada, where they have public health, you know. And they won't give him food or water until he asks for it. Oh, yeah, he is recovering. All the doctors testify to that. He acknowledges his family when they visit him. He responds to stimuli, moves his body, but has difficulty talking due to the brain damage he sustained when he suffered the heart attack. A fellow pastor who visits him regularly testified that he can say a few words now. However, the hospital is insisting they're not going to give him any water or food until he asks for it verbally. Wow. The matter was turned over to the Canadian Consent and Capacity Board of their public health department, who will deliberate over whether or not this patient should be given treatment for his condition. The death panel decided to let this preacher die unless he verbally articulates a desire for food and water. There's the future of Obamacare, complete with death panels. Anyway, the Christian conservatives and the GOP are finding themselves being pushed out of the way in worship of the God of Mammon. We've come full circle back to it's the economy, stupid politics, only now it's the GOP adopting that mantra. Well, you have been warned by moi. all God-fearing conservatives in the GOP need to stop and pay attention to what is happening and do everything in your power to reassert this party's commitment to the basic moral values of the sanctity of life and the sacredness and sanctity of marriage. Murdering babies and encouraging sodomy in our land is a surefire recipe to bring us to destruction. I'll have no part in it. Finally, look at the brouhaha over the mosque to be built on Ground Zero. It keeps percolating and it's about to boil over. It is beginning to be clear that the Cordoba Initiative Group is an extension of the Muslim Brotherhood whose goal is to Islamize, if that's a word, the world. What is this Cordoba Initiative all about? Oh, well, I think it was 800 or 900 years ago in Cordoba, Spain. Muslim law ran the show. The country was ruled by the Caliphate of Cordoba, and the non-Muslims were second-class citizens, oh yeah, with limited rights, while Muslims enjoyed the full rights of citizenship. Non-Muslims had to pay the jizya tax, you know what that is, a tax imposed by Muslim conquerors on all the conquered who refused to become Muslim. And this was done not so much for the money, but in order to Islam the infidels. You see, if the non-Muslim paid the tax, it was a demonstration of submission to the rule of Islam. And the meaning of that word is submission, which is the precondition of peace with the Muslims, you know. And these were categorized as al-dima, which meant they were under the protection of the state, you see. Saying that, in other words, other Muslims could not follow the Quran and kill them. It was a way of paying them off so they wouldn't kill you off as an infidel. These people are so warped, they actually believe themselves to be generous and kind masters, and they want to revive the days of Cordoba. That's what that initiative is all about. You pay the tax, accept a status as beneath the heel of the superior Muslim rulers, and they promise then to be nice and not kill you, but let you live under certain restricted rights and privileges. And the imam, who wants to build this monument to Islamist victory over the American infidels, he wants to establish a caliphate of New York, as it were. Really, a caliphate of America. He wants to impose Cordoba rule in the Cordoba Initiative, Muslim dominion over America. And guess what? If God does turn us over to these people to rule us, it won't be the first time he has decided to turn a nation on earth, identified as a nation under God, over to be ruled by a pagan king from that area of the world, under a pagan religion in the East. Oh, listen up, folks. He turned them over to Nebuchadnezzar. He might turn us over to bin Laden. When Judah turned her back on God, God turned her over to the power of the pagan religion of Babylon, present-day Iraq, because the righteousness of that megalomaniacal culture was actually greater than the righteousness of his own people. Now, I want you to listen to me very, very carefully. Many, even among our conservatives, are doing this thing, right? Listen. And what I'm going to tell you is evidence that we are in the same boat and sailing down the river Euphrates toward Mecca. Many of our foolish conservative voices are actually attempting to make the argument that our embrace and tolerance of sodomy is an example of our superior values and morals over the Muslim culture because they don't. Do not miss what I'm saying here, folks. I'm not calling for us all to go gather up the homosexuals and kill them. No. I'm not saying that, but listen to what I am saying. In the National Review, in the statements made by some of our conservative talk show hosts, and many of the emails I received, the comparison between American values and Muslim values is being reduced to this issue of sodomy. Are you out of your mind? The idea that we are superior, a superior people because we tolerate homosexuality? Toleration of homosexuality does not make us a superior people. It is a symptom of a cancer that is going to destroy this nation, corrupt our conscience beyond the point where God could, by even the gentle persuasions of his spirit poured out upon all flesh in this time, stir a sense of natural shame and abhorrence for a behavior so contrary to nature, nature's God, as to plague those participating in it with all sorts of filthy diseases and troubles in their lives, and has been the direct cause of the destruction by divine wrath of entire cities and even nations. This argument advanced by some who call themselves conservatives is appalling, and it is certain to provoke the wrath of God. Good night. What makes our culture superior to what's going on over there in Saudi Arabia and elsewhere is not that we embrace homosexuality. If this continues and you crazy people actually decide to make this thing with the mosque on Ground Zero to be about winning for tolerance of homosexuality against intolerance against homosexuality, you have lost. And it will be the surest sign I have seen lately that God is turning this nation to hell. And what it meant for Judah was to be given over to the oppressors of the East in the very area of the world that is right now trying to take over Our country, apparently God is preparing to turn us over to the oppressors of the East. Oh, I hope not. You had better wake up, America. You had better repent and turn back to the God of your fathers, or you will be given over to Allah. I'll be right back.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights-on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message. Your brain massage will continue in a moment. Freely you have received, freely give. We don't charge for the Brain Massage Show, but that doesn't mean we don't have to pay to air them on the radio. Many have asked if they can help. Thank you. If you'd like to join them, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com and make your donation today, or mail it to Post Office Box 2803, Santa Maria, California, 93457. Any amount is welcome. The devil beware. Pastor Scheibach is on the air. Stand by. The Brain Massage Show is about to blow your mind.
Hello, I'm Jerry Scheibach, Brain Masseur, spokesperson for the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Take that one. And Paul Revere's Lantern Lighter. I'm going to continue my analysis of Judge Walker's decision to overturn Proposition 8. In show number 278, I pointed out the outrageous and obvious bigotry of Californicating Judge Walker, an out-of-the-closet homosexual, proving from statements out of his own mouth, or from the keyboard of his laptop, that the fix was in from the beginning. In show number 279 last week, I offered a careful examination of the prior rulings on Proposition 22, particularly the language of that ruling that clearly rejected the argument that Proposition 22, which is the same as Proposition 8, by the way, that it violated due process or equal protection. And then we looked at the ruling of a lower court upholding Proposition 8, again rejecting arguments that it violated due process or equal protections, and showed that Judge Walker has ignored these other rulings and decided to return independently off on his own to the argument that it does violate due process and equal protection. I also showed that the court has agreed that this is not about denying to homosexuals the rights and privileges enjoyed by married partners, which leaves the question whether or not homosexuals should be given the right to change the meaning of marriage just because it makes them feel more included in society. Okay. And we began to examine Walker's three reasons that he believes Proposition 8 violates due process clause of the Constitution. Let's go over these three quickly. One, it prevents each plaintiff from marrying the person of his or her choice. Two, the choice of a marriage partner is sheltered by the 14th Amendment from the state's unwarranted usurpation of that choice. And three, California's provision for a domestic partnership, a status giving same-sex couples the rights and responsibilities of marriage without providing marriage, does not afford plaintiffs an adequate substitute for marriage, and by disabling plaintiffs from marrying the person of their choice, invidiously discriminates without justification against plaintiffs and others who seek to marry a person of the same sex, end quote. Now, I began my examination of number one last week. Let's pick it up right there. Number one is that the Proposition 8, quote, prevents each plaintiff from marrying the person of his or her choice, end quote. Now, you see, this is a specious argument, and by that I mean it might sound plausible on the surface, but upon examination, it's obviously wrong. What it does is it shifts attention from the real question of the case to a bogus question involved in the case. It morphs the question and confuses the question in a manner similar to what has happened in the issue of abortion, focusing our attention, for example, on the issue of choice, which is clearly an issue inferior to the concern for the life of the baby. You see, he should have stopped at this. Proposition 8 prevents each plaintiff from marrying, period. That's the question. That is the point of Proposition 8. If homosexuals had some sort of natural right to marry, supported by millennia of common law, which for the most part is built upon the foundation of the laws of nature and of nature's God, then Proposition 8 could be said to be depriving them of some established right in precedent and so on. But he is attempting to shift the focus from the question, do homosexuals have a right to marry, to another question. Do homosexuals have a right to choose whom they will marry? You see what's happened? In other words, the outrageous character has assumed the right to marry, which is the actual question of the case, and then attempts to argue something that isn't the question of the case, their right to choose whom to marry. Here's where this intersects with the abortion debate. You see, where the same thing happens. When you're attempting to reason with a pro-choicer, they begin with an assumption that the woman has a right to kill the baby growing in her womb. We attempt to shift our focus on a question that is not the question of the case. The question of the case is the baby a living human being, and does that baby have the rights of personhood? Pro-choice people do not want to discuss that. They obfuscate, equivocate, demur, and avoid talking about that essential and critical point, and spend all their time and hours arguing about something that is not the essential point of the case, which is life. If the baby in the womb is indeed a human being, then the issue of life trumps the issue of choice, and everyone knows, at least so far, that we defer concerns about choice to concerns about life. Anyway, the real question in this case, against Proposition 8, has nothing whatever to do with choice of a partner, and everything to do with whether same-sex couples should be able to legally demand society to recognize them as married, in direct opposition to the meaning of the word, to many millennia of understanding of the word marriage, and in direct contradiction to common law understanding of the word, in direct contradiction to the use of that word in law for millennia, in direct opposition to nature, and in direct defiance to nature's God. Let's look at the next argument. Quote, the choice of a marriage partner is sheltered by the 14th Amendment from the state's unwarranted usurpation of that choice, end quote. Now you see what happened? We're no longer even going to talk about the actual question of the case. Do same-sex couples have a right to demand that we all recognize their unions as marriages? That's all gone now. He just completely went right over it. He wants to talk from an assumption. The actual question of the case is already decided in favor of the homosexuals. Now all he's going to do from now on is talk about their right to choose a partner. Well, nobody ever said the guy's dumb. He knows he has no support in the U.S. Constitution for the key issue in the case. Therefore, he must change the case into something that it isn't. He can argue from the 14th Amendment for a right to choose a partner for marriage within the meaning of the word marriage. That clearly is in the Constitution. Cases have established that the state has no business engaging in segregation or attempting to enforce bias against interracial marriages. Moses, by the way, was married to an Egyptian, so well, anyway. By changing the question of the case from do same-sex couples have a right to insist that society and the laws of the state must recognize their unions as marriages, in contradiction to millennia of tradition, which tradition has given rise to millennia of common law and understanding, which is reflective of the laws of nature, nature's God, to another question. Assuming same-sex couples have a right to marry, does the state have a right to interfere with the choice of a partner? And it is a ruse, ladies and gentlemen. All right, the third point. Quote, California's provision of a domestic partnership, a status giving same-sex couples the rights and responsibilities of marriage without providing marriage, does not afford to same-sex couples an adequate substitute for marriage, and by disabling plaintiffs from marrying the person of their choice, invidiously discriminates without justification against plaintiffs and others who seek to marry a person of the same sex, end quote. Now that's very interesting. Watch as I expose the sleight-of-hand rhetorical trickery at play here. First, California's provision of a domestic partnership is described as providing the same rights and responsibilities as marriage without providing marriage. Listen, he wants the state to provide marriage. You see, he wants the state not only to provide all the rights and responsibilities of marriage, he wants the state to provide marriage itself. Follow this. They want marriage, man. They want that institution. It is not enough to give them all the rights and privileges of that social status. They specifically want to take marriage and insert themselves in the meaning of that word, thereby changing what that word means and what that institution has been for millennia. Now, this is important because, you see, as any reasonable mind will acknowledge, we have as much right and far more reason to object to this. You see, it comes down to this. Their moral persuasion convinces them that justice demands we change the meaning of a very specific word in order to accommodate not their rights or responsibilities, we've already done that, but their moral perspective, their religious belief, if you will. In other words, their idea of what the word means or ought to mean is to be imposed upon all of us whose idea of the word is premised upon millennia of cultural tradition, common law, and civil law. Since there is no denying them the rights and responsibilities that attach to that word, it comes down to this. They want us to surrender to them that institution. They want to take the institution of marriage and make it into something it has never been understood to be. How anyone can assume they have a right to do such a thing is by itself an illustration illustration of something I've said many times, the degeneration and corruption of the conscience necessary to so distort common sense into this twisted sort of unreasonable thinking, so obviously contrary to nature, to nature's God, creates people who think in this convoluted manner. Think what weird twists of mind are necessary to convince a man to act so contrary to nature and to their design in nature as to enter into a practice of sodomy. Then beyond that, consider what strange juices must flow indeed through their brains that cause them to come to convince themselves it is natural and right to do something that is so obviously contrary to their design and to nature. And then beyond that, by what strange logic do they come to think others must agree with them that it's natural and right, and that those who object to their way of life are somehow violating their rights because we don't want them to force us to change our long-held beliefs about marriage? I mean, that is bizarre. It's like this mosque business. They say they want to build bridges and reach out and so forth. So why do they insist on building a mosque on a site that's generating all this controversy? On a site where part of the fuselage on one of the 9/11 planes was found. They say we are obstructing their rights to insist they build it somewhere else, when they have been given the rights to build hundreds, even thousands of mosques throughout this country, even though you cannot build a church in Saudi Arabia, according to their laws, not until Christendom yields to the second clause of the first doctrine of their Muslim faith, which is God is one and Muhammad is his prophet. And of course, biblical Christians are not going to recognize Muhammad as a prophet of God. So you see, we have yielded rights and privileges of religious freedom here, but they want more than that. They want to impose themselves on our culture. They want to build a mosque on a 9/11 site in defiance of 70% of the population. Why do they demand that particular site? Well, it's obvious that site represents something to the Muslim world as well as it represents something to us. To them, it represents a victory over America, the great Satan. To us, it represents an attack against our liberties by a people who attacked us in the name of the God of that religion. It's just inappropriate. Likewise, the homosexual is not content to receive the same rights and responsibilities of marriage. Oh, no. They want marriage itself. They want to build their shrine to victory over our culture, our cultural objections to their lifestyle, and they want to build it right smack on top of the institution of marriage itself. And we must say no to the mosque and no to this wicked effort to redefine marriage. And I hope you have the insight to perceive how very, very related these two issues are today. I've lit the lights in the belfry arch that signal the enemies on the march. Call in and let me know you see the lights are on. I'm paying for the call. Dial 1-888-770-8000. That number again is 1-888-770-8000. And the drill is this. You say lights on if you agree, lights off if you disagree. Leave a longer message if you like. I look forward to hearing from my callers. Call in 1-888-770-8000. God bless you. God save America. I'll see you in church.
How to know if you are a lights on or a lights off listener. If you find yourself suddenly feeling like someone turned on a bright light inside your head, and this is followed by a sense of euphoria, described by some as a feeling that you have just been enveloped into the warm and comforting embrace of the truth, then you are a lights on listener. However, if you experience sudden bursts of rage, uncontrolled trembling of the lower lip, sweaty palms, and mental disorientation, then you are definitely a lights-off listener. Now that you know what symptoms to look for, call 888-770-8000 and leave your message. Is it lights on or lights off? Call 888-770-8000. The pastor is ready to receive your message.
Heroes inspire us. They challenge what is noble in our spirit. But the ranks of heroes are diminishing. Many who are in a position to inspire our young people to selfless sacrifice for a noble cause are repulsive examples of selfishness. We need to replenish the ranks of heroes. But, my friend, heroes are made, not born. We are helping families make heroes one child at a time with our free character building programs called Heroes of the Faith Sunday School. Enroll your child in Lighthouse Baptist Church Heroes of the Faith Sunday School program, and before long, you'll notice the difference in your child's attitude and character. Call for more information, 888-770-8000. Mention you are interested in the Heroes of the Faith program. Leave a number where we can reach you. Call toll-free, 888-770-8000. There is no charge for the program. It's a service provided by Lighthouse Baptist Church. Enroll your child in Heroes of the Faith today. See our ad in the Coastal Pages directory.
For a complete brain massage experience, go to www.thebrainmassageshow.com. The brain masseur is waiting to massage your brain.